Amen. Okay, I guess it's on. The greatest thing that I ever done, it was to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Did you feel that way?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. To love him is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. Amen. Let us read from Galatians 5:19-22. We're going to get right into this message because I don't know how long it's going to take. No. Amen. You know, when we move into that different atmosphere, you know, in heavenly places, there's no time, no longer.
Amen.
No. We're still in bound by time. So let us read Galatians 5:19-22. I don't know if they have a copy. I hope they have a copy. So continue praying for those that are not here and for your pastor, that God will give them strength and health and always give him energy.
Amen.
We need all the energy we can get.
Amen.
Okay, Galatians says, now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rebellion, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Most of this stuff we don't even apply to us. Thank God. You know, we don't commit adultery. We don't, you know, fornication and witchcraft. The only thing I think there that we could do is hatred. You know, but even just one, we just break the whole thing. It says, oh, envying, murder. We do murder, but we do murder, you know, it's character assassination. So we are still, we're not careful, you know, we're still under. Had to keep this flesh under control.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit, I'm glad that he didn't left it there,
right.
You know. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such, there is no law. Against doing good, there is no law.
Right.
You know, you can do all day long, you can do good, they won't put you in jail for doing good. But go on and steal something or lie, they put you in jail. So you can do as much good as you want to. Don't worry about it. People will love you. They might take advantage of you, but that's all right. They will love you. So Paul says, and they that are in Christ has crucified the flesh. So we started with the flesh and the work of the flesh. That is crucified,
right.
Paul says. We don't worry about that any longer, it says. With the affections and the lust, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when Paul says, I'm crucified, this flesh, this is what he meant in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Now, he wasn't crucified with Christ. But his flesh, his sinful nature was crucified in the cross. Mine too. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me, and I wrote this before. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
So I'm no longer live, but Christ in me.
Amen.
Amen. That's the ultimate walk. And that's what I want. And I think that's what you guys want. No longer I, you, but Christ in me.
Amen.
So let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. I think this is an awesome opportunity, Father, to speak to the younger generation and to those that are not as young, Father. It is a privilege, Father. And I don't take it lightly, Father. I'm trying to share as much as I can, Father, the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you have given me throughout this year, Father. As our pastor said, we're learning. We have learned what to do and what not to do through our life, Father. But what we want to share is you, Father, because you are a good God. And everything that is good comes from you, Father. And we thank you that if there's anything good in us, it is you. And that's what we want to share, Father. We want to share the word that is only goodness in the world, Father. We thank you for those that are here, Father. We are blessing those that are not. We ask you to bless them. And those that are sick or afflicted, lift them up from the bed, rise them up, Father. And we ask you, Father, that your presence, Father, visit us. We want to make you feel welcome tonight. So you can come and walk among us, Father, and meet every need or every heart tonight, Father. And I know that what we need is more of you, Father. What we need is more revelation so we can do more for you, Father, to serve you more. Father, what we need tonight is just another, you know, dose of you, Father. We love you and we thank you. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated. Amen. So tonight we want to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about the young people because healthy relationships are what we're looking for. You know, they are not so healthy relationships, but we're going to talk about how to avoid those things. But the young people are living in times that during your teen years, adolescence, they are crucial times. And this time is also the time that they are transforming. God is shaping them, not only physically, but also spiritually. They are trying to look for their identity, who they are, what we are, where we're going. And they are trying to prepare for the future. And that is what I'm glad we're having a chance to talk to you guys, because we want you to be, you know, good adults, you know, godly adults. So, and this is the house for training, for preparing you guys, you know, so you can also engage in positive relationships, you know, those that are going to worth something. Amen. So, because we know that this relationship, they play a significant part, role in your character development. Every connection that you make affects you, good or bad. You know, because there's no such a thing as good or bad. Either it's good or it's bad. There's no middle point. See? So I know that at your age, I navigated through a lot of relationships. And I'm not talking about girlfriends or nothing like that. I'm talking about connections. Friends. BFFI or whatever you want to call them. You know? Those are connections. And you are in the stage that you like to make deep connections. You know, and my, you know, idea here, my thought is I want you to do the right connections.
Yes.
Because some of those connections are not good for you.
Right.
See? So navigating through all these relationships can be challenging for you. It's a lot of challenge. I wish somebody would have talked to me about this when I was growing up. You know, I wouldn't have gotten in so much trouble, you know. But when you cannot, when you actually get into any kind of relationship, just be honest, you know. Be honest and be open and communicate with your parents, you know. Because if we don't want to communicate with our parents, what we're doing is because something is not right. Or we say, well, or we justify by saying, but they're not going to like what I'm doing. Well, if you know you don't like to do it, why you do it?
Right.
You already know. You know your parents, you know. So be honest, be open. Communicate with parents. You know, that is very essential, you know, in growing up and having a relationship for you guys. Because your parents are the guardians of your soul, see? They're looking after you. They're trying to support you, you know. They're trying to give you guidance, you know. And we're trying to give you understanding and give you whatever else help we can give you so you have healthy, meaningful relationships, you know. It is very important because it plays a big part in your development when you are growing up. So we want to get started right. If you want to end up right, you got to start right. Yeah. When you take a tree, you know, I have two trees in the back of my house. That was 25 years ago. They were just little sticks when I moved into the house. Now they're just, my goodness, big, big trunks. But I noticed it started leaning. You know, the Bible said whatever the tree will lean, that's why it stays. We don't want you to lean. We're trying to keep you straight. And how do you keep a tree straight? Well, you just, sometimes you have to, you know, force. Sometimes you have to be physical. We don't like to. Or sometimes we have to even do more than that. We get a stick, you know, you buy a Home Depot and you stick it in the ground, you push it, and then you tie it. You know, go to your room, time out. We try to keep you to grow straight in the narrow path. You know? Because the way you lean, that's the way we go.
Right.
And we want our children to go the right way.
Amen.
Because we know what is going to be, you know, the situation that they will get into if you don't. You don't want to. I did. I regret it. I'm glad that God forgave me. But I wish somebody would. See, in Puerto Rico, in certain cultures, certain things are taboo. You cannot talk about sex, or you cannot talk about, emotionally, forget it. I distance myself completely from my parents because I already know how to approach them and talk to them about things that I thought, you know, they're going to laugh about me, or they're going to think that I'm, you know, kind of, you're too young for that, just forget about it. So what happened when we don't have the guidance, we go outside to the peers, and you know, they know less than you know. You don't know that, but just because they're a year older, they don't know more than you. But we get together with peers and friends, and that's not what you want to learn things. See, if we don't teach our children now what they need to know and the way they need to go, Satan will do it. Oh, yeah, he's ready. So it's our responsibility to teach you the right way, to walk in the Spirit. So you have to be open, like I said, and you have to be honest, and you have to communicate, and you have to respect, you know, those that are over you. You have to respect them. You cannot say, well, what do you know? You're just an old fashioned. Listen, humankind has not changed in the beginning. We're still doing the same thing. All that are Rachel, we're still doing that to today. Oh, we have more technology. That has nothing to do with anything. That means you get bad quicker. Before it took a little time. Now, you know, at your disposal, in your hands, in your fingertips, you got everything you want, good, bad, and evil. So try to protect you, young people. Protect you from that evil one. In these times, they're very crucial that you are being transformed from a teenager to an adult. We want you to be adults that are happy, you know, adults that are contributing to the church and you know, wherever you go to work, you know. So that's where we are going to head in that direction. So this is the time that you're trying to also look for independence. The more you grow, the more you pull away from parents. I know because I was there. Because you're trying to be independent. And that's what we're trying to do. We don't want to keep you, you know, I don't want to keep you at home when you're 40, 50 years old. I want you to get out at 18 when you graduate. Here's a suitcase. No, we don't do that. My brother was, I think he was 30 or 35 years when he got married. I was 25. My other brother was about the same, 25, 30. My mom gave us one rule and one rule only. He knows he had three boys in the house. So he says, when you start growing up and you start dating, I don't want any woman in my house. There's three boys, you don't want a house full of, you know, girls. So she told us, you bring me the one that you're going to marry. I mean, that was it. That's my mom's rules. And we respected. We never brought females or in the house. In fact, I never had a girlfriend until I, you know, actually throughout my high school. Then I went to Vietnam, and still, and the only woman that I brought home and I married was my wife. I respected my mom. I didn't understand, but and my brother did too. But my brother, my first brother, he stayed home. I left, you know, at 20. My other brother, Marion, left, got a house and left. My brother was still there at 35 years old, still living at home. And then he gets married and he brings the wife home too. So my, you see, it's already almost 30. My mom said, hold it. No, that's not going to work here. I got 2 acres. I'm going to section a quarter of an acre for you. Go and build your own house and take your family. Well, he didn't go that far. He's still in there. He's still living in there. My mom passed away. My dad, he's still there. Yeah. So anyway, nothing wrong with that anyway. So what I'm saying is you cannot keep your kids forever. They're looking for independence. And they, as they grow older, they start kind of pulling away from the parents. Not only physically, but emotionally. Oh, I cannot talk to my dad or talk to my mom. They will not understand me. You know, that's the devil lies. They went through it already. They're not old fashioned. They are old fashioned, but they went through it already. For what you went through. So we are trying to live, and we are trying to live in goodness and in love, and we want to develop, you know, to be good also parents when we go older. So you are learning all this stuff today. So sometimes you're seeking independence, and that's it's okay. About 19, 20, I left, you know. You get to the point that, you know, you want to go on experience. So there's nothing wrong with that, but we distance ourselves from our parents. But be careful again for relationships and the interactions with friends. Amen. And what friends do you choose? Amen. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. And that's very simple. So let's go to, so we can lay a quick foundation so I can move on. Luke 10, 25, 37. Behold, certain lawyer stood up. Lawyers, they said they're not going to make it to heaven. I don't know, that's not true. It's just like Jesus said, you know, a rich man, it's hard for a rich man to make it to heaven, but for God it's nothing impossible. So lawyers will make it. Maybe some lawyers in heaven. So, said, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus. Say, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? I mean, he's a lawyer, you know. And he answered, said, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, he didn't stop there, you know. The lawyer said, you know, the lawyer's always looking for a loophole, you know. That's what lawyers do. He says, but who is my neighbor? Then Jesus relayed 2 more parables or 2 more stories about the man that was a Samaritan going to Jericho. He got attacked. They took everything he had. They kicked him. They hurt him. And he was thrown there. And then a high priest was going through there, to the same road, and saw him. And he said, well, I ain't got no time for this guy. You know, I got to preach. I got to be there early. Anyway, so he continued. Another one that was the guy that got attacked, I don't know who he was, but anyway, it was a guy that got attacked. But it was a Samaritan that was coming next. And he felt compassion and mercy. He went and lifted him up, helped him, bandaged his wounds. He took him to the inn and he said, here, put him in and take care of him. I will pay. And I will come back, and if I owe you more, I will pay you. And Jesus says, who was the neighbor, the one that did good? He says, the lawyer has to think. He says, let me see. I mean, so finally he said, the one that had mercy to the guy was merciful. He cannot even, you know, Samaritans were hybrid, they call them, you know, that was the a race from Jewish and Gentile, and they were hated. They were worse than dogs, according to the Jews. The Jewish people would not look at them. And this guy could not even come, bring himself to say the Samaritan. No, the one that had mercy. And God said, what? Go on what? And do the same. James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. See? The law says that you can fulfill the law by loving thy neighbor. So what happened here? I'm trying to build a platform here for where I want to go. What happened is here that they believed the law. And they, just like the rich ruler, came to Jesus and said, I have done all the law, but what do I do to have eternal life? He said, well, I have done, you know, the law, I have obeyed. So Jesus loved them. The Bible said that when he saw it coming, he loved them. So it's just like Brother Branham says, he must have had the right spirit, but he had the wrong doctrine. But he loved them. And he didn't rebuke them when he said, I have done the law, I had not break the law. Well, then Jesus says, if you want eternal life, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. See, that's the part that says, love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's another case that, yeah, they obeyed the law until, you know, it's no longer their convenience. Today, we obey the law. We don't go by the law. But love thy neighbor and love God. That's where the whole law hangs. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to what? Fulfill. You and I, we are fulfilling the law. We don't live by law. We live by grace and mercy. Nevertheless, we can do like these two guys. We choose, you know, what to do right and what not to do wrong. You cannot do that. You know? Well, I'm okay with the law. I have not broke the law. But what about compassion for the poor? What about the homeless? Okay, I'll leave it there. That's your decision, what you do when you see one. And we say we are Christian and we obeying the law. Law, and I'm pleasing you. But what about your neighbor? Well, the city will take out those guys. Okay. See, we find a way to justify and dismiss a part. Now, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. The Ten Commandments can be fulfilled with one word, love. Love God and love your neighbor. The first four in the law, the first four talks about the love for God. There's Ten Commandments. The first four, it deals with the relationship with God. If you love God, you don't have idolatry. If you love God, you don't have no other. If you love God, it's your relationship that we have with God. But the next six talks about the relationship with your humankind, with other, with your neighbor. Because that's the part they were feeding, you know, do not lie, do not commit, those six, there's a few things in there. Do not steal, do not lie, you know, those are things that you don't do against someone, not God, someone. And that is the relation. So if you love your neighbor and you love God, you fulfill the law. Because if you love God and you love your neighbor, you don't do none of those things that Ten Commandments says. So this is what Psalm 97:10 says. Ye that love the Lord hates what? Evil. So all these lawyers and all these people, you know, and all the high priests and all that, they should have hated evil. They should have loved God. And loved God and loved the neighbor, see? Because he preserved the soul of his saints, he delivered them out of the hands of the wicked. So if we love God, then he will preserve you. If we love God, he will deliver us. Now, what are we talking about here? Let me get into now my message. We're talking about relationship. There's two relationships that you need to know. Either we love or either we hate. What do you mean hate? Well, in the garden, you know, Cain and Abel. Cain, you know, God said, you know, I know you don't understand what your brother has done. You bring sacrifices and, you know, I wasn't pleased with you. I was pleased with your brother, but you don't have a revelation. Your brother has a revelation. Okay. So, but if you do, I mean, God is a just God. If you do what your brother did, I accept you. It will be a place for you. But what happened? So he says, no, he said no. That means that he hated. How can you hate something that God is giving you? Because that is all it is. If you don't love God, you hate God.
Right.
You don't have to tell him in his face you hate him, but by not doing what he wants you to do, it becomes hate.
Right.
See? And then you say, but I don't hate anybody. My relationships are all based in love. Well, I'm glad because that's what we're going to talk about. Every relationship has to be based on love because that is what we learn from the Bible. See? Because if you love God and that relationship is good, everything else is going to be right. See? But if we hate certain things, you know, let's not call it, hate is kind of a strong word, but it makes the point. Well, I love God, but I'm not going to do this. It's iniquity. Period. Knowing what to do and not doing, and that's just as bad as hate. Yeah, I mean, the Bible's trying to make a point, persuading people using this strong word. But listen what Brother Brown says. Because I'm going to get now into a relationship. Now we have come this far. Let me try to crystallize your thinking in this subject so you can see the necessity of going into it. The serpent seed doctrine, as I have. We start with the fact that there were two trees in the midst of the garden, young people. The tree of life was Jesus. The other tree, definitely Satan, because of what came forth of the fruit of that tree. Now, then, we know that both of these trees had a relationship with God, with man. See? Creation means a connection. These two trees had a connection. Or they would never have been placed there. God gave us the right to choose. But in order to give me a right to choose, I need to have to choose from something. But this is our connection. This is our relationship in order to fulfill certain things that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. See? God needed a reason and a purpose to be, so he knew. He wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be this and that. But if nobody was lost, so God knows what he's doing. That's what Brother Brown says. Now that we know that both of these trees has relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan, a purpose of God. And I'm just telling you, that's God had a purpose. See? Because if nobody falls, how do we know that God is a savior? If nobody gets sick, how do we know that God's, you know, the attributes of God? So God had a purpose in doing this. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan or purpose of God and their relationship to mankind and to himself, or we could never impute omniscience unto God. This is all true so far, is it not? Now, the word was definitely set for that from before the foundation of the earth. The purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man.
Amen.
And this too, the lawyer knew it. He said, what do I do to get eternal life? And the other guy, the rich ruler, said, what can I do to have eternal life? That was God's purpose from the very beginning, to share eternal life with you and me. Or how are you going to share something if we are not lost? Something has to be lost. Matthew says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate. Here we go. You say, well, I don't know about hating, but it's all over the Bible. He said, he will hate one and love the other. Or else he will hold to one and despise the other one. You cannot serve two masters. Amen. Choices, see? God is giving choices. In actuality, to love God is a choice. God don't want you to love him because he makes you love them. He gave you a choice. He don't want you to be a robot. But at the same time, with that choice goes responsibilities. Because you own the choice. And you own, after you make a choice, whatever that choice brings, you're going to own it. So either we make a choice based on God's love and his word, or we make a choice based in the flesh. But that choice, listen, this is what hates kind of continue popping up. This is the love of God, and this is the love of the world. You're going to tell me that the love of the world, you know, that is less, way less, that's way down in there, better than this, than the love of God? I mean, you really have to hate something here to choose something that is less than what is perfect. Or not being in your right mind to choose something lesser. And the same thing with relationship. Why would you choose a less relationship when you can have a perfect relationship with God? And after you learn and you develop and you grow, you will have perfect relationship with your mate. And you, because you already have a pattern, you've been trained. Why do we choose something less than what the perfect? When we can have it. So, but it's our choice. Your relationship is your choice. Whoever you want to connect with and whatever you do. So you cannot serve two masters. Now, you think this is bad? Look at Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, whoa, there we go. I don't hate my father. But this word was translated from the Greek, and the Greek likes to use a lot of rhetoric speech, you know, persuasive speech. And hate is like, well, like, whoa, okay, you know, to persuade you. So that was translated to hate. It's not his father or mother. I don't hate my mama, I don't hate my dad. And wife, children, or sisters. But if you don't hate all this, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. So, again, choosing something less than what is right and perfect. That is kind of the same measurement as at hate. Why would you hate something like that? You don't hate. You just, the word hate is just a rhetorical persuasion to kind of choke you to see if you, okay, wake up. I'm trying to make a point here. You know? So, hate your father and mother. So, love, John, 1 John 2:15 said, love not the world or the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're choosing. We choose the love of God, or we choose to love the world. Okay? But we are choosing to choose something less than perfect. We are not perfect. Our relationship are not perfect. The only one perfect is God. So I want to choose what he wants for me. At least I want to do that. My desire is to do that. Because I know that cannot fail me. See, I don't have no guarantee. So relationships is a connection between two or more people. Sometimes what the law was doing also, that they will treat people, you know, better than others. See? And we cannot do that. God has no respect of person. But they will treat the poor in a different way that we treat the rich people. You know, come in the synagogue, having the first places, and everybody else, you know. So Jesus is trying to tell them, if you love God, then you treat everybody the same. See? You don't treat somebody less than the other one. God is partial. It's fair. He treats us all the same way. I'm glad. I'm glad of that. I don't care if you're tall, short, fat, ugly, or beautiful. God will treat you the same way. Of you from Spain, from Puerto Rico, from... I don't care. I'm glad that he treats me the same as he treats you. Amen. This is what the Bible, Brother Ben says. Test faith, produce goods. We being dead in Christ, the scripture says that, we become Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. And Christ was Abraham's seed, and the Holy Spirit has brought us, being dead with him, bring us into a relationship. As soon as you know, God saved you and gave you life, you came into a relationship with God now. See? Bring us into a relationship, and by the Holy Spirit, give us the faith that Abraham had. Grant tonight that we all have faith and that love, that something that Christ means so much to us still is more than church and membership. You know, sometimes I wonder why people come and they don't come. They say, you don't have to love church. But if you love God, you love church. Okay, the priorities are backwards. We don't come to church because I love you. Yeah, I do love you, and I love church, and I love the people. But my main reason is, the only reason I come is because I love God. Amen. See? And God, what did he did on Saturday? He went to church. Because even though they crucified him, he still loved people. It had nothing to do with the synagogue. It had nothing to do with anything else. I love God. I go to church. Amen. That's the right motivation. He says, grind me so much until it's more than church membership. It's more than hiding behind a religious clog. It's more than anything. It's like blind, funny Crosby says, it's more than life to me. Grant, Lord, that this hour that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. So, if we love God, we'll be obedient. Yes. But that's what Jesus was. He loved God so much that he was obedient. And he did what God desired for him to do. Whatever God wanted to do, he did. He did the will of God. Just because he loved them first above anything. He says, more than life to me. So what is there in life that is better than God's love in our life? Tell me. What is there more important than missing church? For what? For something less than what you're going to get here? I want you to you know, start making your mind that this is not about me or about brother Doug or the church. That's why we or the people. This is about how much you love God. And God don't have two different spirits. It's just one spirit. The same spirit that makes me love him, same spirit that makes you love him. There's no certain degree of love. He said, more than grand Lord this hour. So, how do I know that I am, how do I know that I am in a relationship with God? See? First of all, you have a mutual, exclusive connection. You and God, and nobody else in between. That's exclusive. You know? Nobody comes between you and him. So if you're having that kind of a relationship with God, nothing out there will come against the desire that you have for God and the God desire has for you. Then you're in a relationship. You look unto him first for everything. Okay? And if something comes up that is against his will, we don't do it. Amen? Also, we have emotional intimacy. We tell him everything. You know, when you have a good BFFI or whatever, beef, what is the beef, whatever. Because you like to find somebody that you can connect emotionally. Because you don't want to talk to mom and dad. So if you have a problem, you go to your best one, you know. Some connection you have with somebody else. But see, that connection should be with God first. If you have a problem, you have an emotional problem and you don't know what to do, go to God first. Because he understands everything. He went through that so he could be, you know, our advocate. You know, God wanted to feel what you feel. God wanted to know what you went through when you get sick, when and this and that. In fact, he suffered all that. He experienced everything that a humankind, and even more than you, went to a cross. Why? Because he wanted to know when you pray how you feel about it. How can I serve you if I don't can identify with your pain and with your suffering? Huh? But God went through all that just for the reason that he wanted to experience you. So he can be, you know, touched by the infirmity of our, you know, he touched. So if you have a problem and you cannot talk to mom and dad, go to him in prayer. Ask him, what can I do? However, I will not dismiss mom and pa. I said, you have to be honest. And I know what's going to happen. That's the route it's going to go. But you have to depend in God. You have to trust God. Because he will lead you the right way to do the right things, even though sometimes it's against our own thinking. So when you are, you tell him everything, you know. It's just like we says, you know, when we come to church, you know, God, you know, open all the windows and open all the doors and let him in and let it go in the places, in everything. See, you don't hide anything from God. Let it check out your emotions, the way you think, anything you're going through. Open all the doors, open all the windows. See? Because he understands. He understands. And he will help you. Don't hide anything from God. And anyway, why do we hide something from God that he wants to help us? So you are emotionally involved. You also share activities. Oh, that's a good one. You engage in activities together. You know, a good friend, that's what you do, right? You share activities. Let's go and play pickleball, or let's go and play ping pong, or whatever. When you are in a relationship, you want to share these things. Well, what is the only thing that we can share with God? Well, here you go. He likes to come to church. That's an activity. Well, if my father, if Jesus likes to come to church and I am in a good relationship with God, you know, I want to share that activity with him. That's why we come to church. Because he's already here. He said, when two or three are here, I'll be there. So I want to share this activity with you because he likes it. And whatever he likes, I like. I have nothing to do with nothing else. It's still the love of God. And if we have a good, deep, strong relationship, I want to be where he at. And he's here today. He said, with two or three, I'll be here. So that's what I want to be. Amen. I have nothing to do that I'm better or less or more special. No. He's my best friend. I have a relationship, a connection, and I want to share his activity that he has. I want to be wherever he's at. And on Sunday, you know where he's at. I'm not saying that God is not everywhere. I cannot put him in a box. And yes, God is everywhere. But today, he said he will meet us here. Right? Amen. And sometimes you go far enough and the relationship grows stronger and deeper. You want to build a future with that person. But this is why we are here. We're building a future. You know, you and Jesus and God, we are building a future. And it's just like Enoch. Enoch had a relationship with God. And he was not just he was building a future in that relationship. That relationship was not for today or tomorrow or when I wanted to. That relationship was for every day and every minute. That relationship consumed, if it has to, your time. Because that relationship is not going to stop here. That relationship, it goes beyond to eternity. So we had to build that strong relationship with God here first. You know, the rapture is going to happen, and now it's going to happen. Now you're going to have a deep, you know, connection with God. That's not, like I said, that's a process, and that has to be built right here. Right. Because that we are going to carry all the way.
Amen.
You know? So we decide to build a future together because he wants a future together with the bride. And we share that, see? So, again, communication, you got to pray. If really, if he is your, perfect, connection, then you have to talk to God.
Amen.
I mean, you go to school and you talk to all your friends all the time, every time you see them. Oh, you know what I did last weekend? You know what happened? Well, how was that party there? Oh, how was this? Okay, what about talking to God? Being, praying to him. Every day, you pray. Every day, you read your Bible. You want to communicate. You cannot have a special connection with somebody and never talk to them. Can you marry a wife and a husband? Well, I told her I loved her when I was in the altar. I told her I will love her forever and never from there on you told her you love. She didn't need to hear that every day. See? When you go out of the door and when you come from work, last twice a day already. And before you go to sleep, again. So it is not just a one-time thing. Well, I love God and then now, he loved me and everything is fine. No. Love grows. Love is not a thing that you have today and that's it. You got it all. You got to grow. You have to develop in the love of God. You got to get deeper in the love of God, stronger in the love of God. And that takes a commitment. That takes actually some time to do things that you don't want to do. And that's why that's the flesh. You know? So here's what Brother Brown says. But remember, into the next room is where not only fellowship but relationship comes. What room is that one? Let's see if it tells us. And that's what is the matter with the church today. They got shame faces. If you can catch my parable, they don't want their relationship with God. I want it. Even if it costs me everything. Even if it costs my family, my work. I don't care if it costs my life. Because they say it's better than my life anyway. See? They rather have some stole, called former starchy organization in Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal that really come down to their relationship with God to go out and bear for children's crying, Abba Father. They are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is a serious thing. A relationship with God, young people, it is the first thing you need to establish in your heart before you establish anything else. You need to be certain, you need to be sure,
amen,
you know, that you and God has a relationship. And how do you going to know? There's fruits that bear witness of a good relationship. We're going to get into maybe that in a little bit. So, the next room, he says, was not only the fellowship, but the relationship comes. You know, and he was talking about a house that has three rooms, the kitchen, the living room, and the bedroom. And that's what the fellowship comes into, the intimacy comes in that room. See, but they don't want it. That we say they don't want to have children, you know. That's in the natural as well as in the church. You know, they're bringing out more, you know, church, religion children, they're not bringing no more children for God. Now, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for his power of God unto salvation to them that believe. So we are not ashamed to testify, to witness, you know, that I love God. And we are in a relationship with God. And if you have a friend or someone interested in you and he don't care about your relationship, I will just dump him. You know? Because I prefer to keep my relationship with God to keep any other relationship. Because that's a less, way less relationship than what God is going to offer me. So, Acts 13:22 says, And when he had removed him, he raised up unto David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own what? My own heart. That's a testimony that I want to have. You know, I want to be after the love of God.
Amen.
It's his heart. Because the love of God, his heart was Jesus Christ. He poured his love. And Jesus became his heart poured out to us. We're going to see that in a little bit. But Jesse, after my own heart, we shall fulfill all my will.
Amen.
That is a relationship that we have with God. That is a good relationship. That's a perfect relationship. God tells me what to do, and I do it. You know? I know what God desires and what is his will, and that's what I want to do. Is that the kind of relationship we're having? See? Because the key of a healthy relationship is you have to trust and you have to respect, you know, the Word of God. You have to commit to the Word of God. This is what Brahma said. When divine love is projected, you know, sovereign grace takes its place. That's the title. And when his love projects his feeling, want you follow this closely, the love project his feelings. Christ stepped out to take his place. See? It requires something to take the place. His love alone went for you. And grace provided a sacrifice for you. Now, you are only to ask to believe it. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Trusting that you catch the vision. But the dog was talking about catch the vision. Cast a vision here. Love is one of the greatest instruments that there is in God's. In God's great economy. Love is the greatest force in this world. He says, the Bible said that he is love. And when you become one of his children, you become a part of that love. There's not another different love, that one. That one that Jesus had. That one that came from God. Catch what he's trying to tell you. When you become his children, you become a part of that love. You are part of God's economy. You become a subject to his what? Domain. And when you do that, you become a son and a daughter of God. And he... this thing moves too fast sometimes. Okay. I lost this. You can touch this screen sometimes, they get funny. And I have happy fingers. Okay, here we go. But I am taught, okay. And he said it would give you, you become a subject of his domain. And when you do that, you become a son and a daughter of God. And he says he would give you everlasting life.
Amen.
Now, if I am not mistaught, if I am understood correctly, I have no education, just my grammar school, but I am taught by scholars who should know that the word used, giving everlasting life in the Greek, is called zoe, which means the life of God. Then God's love projected to you brings you and makes you a part of him in the new birth. God love projected. See? Then you became a child, born of, come from. Here we go. And that puts you in a relationship with God so much that you are now sons and daughters of God. Rebrand is saying that God so loved, that the love that was on him projected. And what he produced? Christ. So if you had the same love of God in you, why should you project Christ? So this walk is all about getting to the point that Eli will die, and what we project and I project will be what? Christ in me.
Amen.
The hope of glory. So how much do you love God? How much will you project? Okay? Young people, that's all it comes down to. Your relationship with God. How much do you love God? However, he's catch the vision now. Who is the one that had to project Christ in your life? He already done everything he was going to do, give you everlasting life. But who is the one that had to project? If you love him like he loved of you, your love, your vision of who you are and what you are is projected forward. That's what the vision became what? You know, the thought became the vision, and the vision became flesh. So you are pregnant, but who is one that is going to bring forward Christ? It's you and me. This is the big thing. Sometimes we think we just sit down and do and not do. You know, that's not how it's going to work. All the work is in you. He already finished the work, and he gave you everything that you needed. Now, we have to love God in such a way that our love, we project what? We project ourselves. You know, God spoke, God loved, God spoke, and that love projected everything that we see. Right? He spoke, and he had faith, and it happens. Something that wasn't is from nothing. Here it is. You know, why? Because he spoke, and his love projected all these things. Amen. Listen, my friend, you cannot project something that you cannot perceive. Sorry, but that is the way it goes. So the more you know, the more relationship, the more the deeper, the more the stronger, the more you can project. So it is all in your hands. It's not in your lap. It's not on nobody else. It's not on the preacher. We are providing you with the tools. We are giving you the word of God. But the vision has to come. You have to visualize yourself the way God visualized himself and in the creation. And God thought about it. That's a visualizing. He's thinking. He has ideas. And he loved you so much. And he knew you were going to be loved. That his love projected a redeemer for you. Now your love for God has to be so strong that you will reproduce God in your life. God is not going to make you. He could, but he would not make you. Your relationship with God will produce, depending how strong it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That's how a strong love is. Amen. Brother Brandon, one time he was in Mexico anyway, he was a elderly man that came to be prayed, and he was blind too, and he had no shoes, poor people, you know, and Brother Branham stood in front of him, and he looked down. He knew he didn't have no shoes, and he tried to look about his shoes and tried to see if it will fit, you know, in his shoes, to give it to him. I mean, listen, you cannot help no one unless you enter into their own situations. You have to love a person so much that you will enter into that. You have to love a person to help a person. This morning, Brother Doug says, you know, you have a car that will take you to a destination. He used that. I think it's good. And the car is your word. The word promised you they will take you to certain. You get in it and you trust God, it will take you. But that guy is not just going to take off as soon as you sit and you're going to, you know, today, yeah, you have a car with computers. You sit, you put the GPS and you go and play and the car will take you. Hopefully it will take you. Because they're running red lights and they're running the train barricades. I mean, you can't even trust. I mean, I saw those cars out there in the airport every time I go. You know, they had these Ubers, whatever, with these things on top. And they get in trouble with that because they're not stopping when they're supposed to stop. And then the light turned red and the thing, because the train is coming and they're bringing, and they just, you know, find a way. I mean, you cannot trust AI. But you can trust God. Your love for God will produce the word, the life that you want. It's there to you. The power to do it is in you. Amen. Love will project. So what do you love the most? That's what your life will project. Do you love to come to church? Well, your life will project that because you'll be here. Do you love God and you like to talk to God, and then your prayer life will be? What about you know, reading the Bible. You know, whatever you love, that's where you're going to incline to it. So all I'm saying is, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, if you want to reproduce God in your life.
Yes.
Because love will do that.
Amen.
That's the vision. Love will reproduce what you are looking for.
Amen.
A new body.
Yeah.
You want a new body? Start loving God is what, and the body that you're going to. And you will sooner or later walk into the vision. Well, who is the vision? Your new body. Because if you don't have a vision of that, you will not walk in the body. That's what Brother Doug just said. You have to have a vision. And you have to walk in that vision. Jesus had a vision of Jesus Christ, and he loved them. That was God's love projected to the world. So loved the world that he walked into that masterpiece. God himself, in Jesus Christ. You want to walk in your masterpiece? You want to walk in your body change? You must have to love this word and love God and have a good relationship with God in order to walk into your vision.
Amen.
Your people, your relationship with God, it is very important. Because this life is more than life.
Amen.
Amen. It says, then we look different. But by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body. Oh, let me start from the beginning, this thing. Okay. Let's read. Let me see. I saw it live. Okay. So your relationship with God, it will determine how do you interact with everybody else. See? If you love God the way you love God, then you love everybody. You love your neighbor. So to the degree that you love God, that's the sky you're going to produce. No more and no less. Okay? If you love brothers and sisters, then you want to be where they are. If you really love, right? You want to be with them. So, Brother Van says here in Hebrews chapter 6:3, we go into a relationship and we find out that the only way that we can be perfected is to be in Christ. We know that. And we find out then by the teaching of the Bible that how to get into Christ. Okay? Now, not by water baptism, not by laying hands, not by teaching, but by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body and become perfect through his suffering. We know that. Then we look different. We look different. We act different. We live different. Not because it is a duty or we belong to the church, but because the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost will produce that life.
Amen.
So it is all on you. How much do you love God? How much you love your word? How much you love your his people? Okay?
Amen.
I'm not mad at you guys. I'm just talking here. It says, that make us fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. Then, there is no denomination or barriers in that. We are all one great body.
Amen.
So the relationship that we have with our Father, that type of relationship, will change us. You need to realize that that's what is going to change us. Not the relationship I got with the church, not with the pastor, but the relationship that I have with him.
Amen.
So that's where we start, young people. Before you even decide that you will think about anything, start thinking about God first.
Amen.
And the relationship that you need with God first. Because that relationship will change your body. That relationship will make you grow to maturity, to perfection.
Yes.
Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even family relationships. You love her so much, feel like you could pull her in. Now, this is a rude, way of Brother Brown putting it. He's talking about the wife. He says, even a family, you love her so much that feel you could pull her all the way to you and reach back and pull her back again, trying. That is real expression, you know. But I remember when I met my wife, and I was in the army, so she stayed at home and at the time. And I go and I come back. Sometimes I had to go to the field for weeks sometimes and come back. And she always tell me, I want to go with you. Take me with you. I said, you can. I wish I can make myself as small you can put me in your pocket. And you can take me with you. I want to go with you wherever you go. And then she said this. I like to pull myself so hard when she's embracing me that I want to get inside you. Well, 50 years later, I don't know if she's still... I don't know if she wants to put me in now. Anyway, this is what Brother Branham is talking about. See? Trying to say you love her, love her, love her, and there's no place you can find what it is. She a part of your soul. She part of you. That's right. See? So what Brother Branham is talking here with this little example or parable is the way God feels. You know, sometimes I did not understood why, but now I understand, because at the beginning we were in God and we came out of God, okay? But now Jesus Christ came and now he is in me. He has put himself. That's how much he loved you. Amen. That's how much he loved all of us, that he didn't want to stay outside. He wanted to be a part of you. And he still want to be a part of your life, decisions. Everything that we do, he wants to be a part of that life. We are no longer two. You know, that's what they said when you get married, there's no longer one, they become, no longer two, they become one. So you and Christ have become God and you have become one. So wherever you go, he's there. Whatever you do, he's there. Good, bad, evil, whatever we do, he's there. So we cannot hide from God. See? Because wherever you hide, he's there. Because he's in you. Even family relationship, you love so much. See, if you love God that much, don't you want to have him 24/7 in you? That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. Psalm 97:11 says, light is sown in righteousness. I wrote some things over here that I wanted to share with you, because if I don't write them, I forget them. Let me see if I had covered everything that I wanted to. This is not a preaching. This is just like a seminar. I speak, you listen. No. That's what seminar is all about, you know. Somebody that is more, I guess, into the subject and an expert, and especially that, you know, give you the wisdom and the knowledge that he has acquired. So, because I'm older, I mean, the Bible said all teach the younger, right? So, that's what we're doing. We have gone through life and we have experienced good, bad, and evil. You just starting. So I'm trying to share what God has done in my life, in our life, so you can benefit from that. So, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. That's a nice analogy here, David put, because light becomes a seed. See? It's like a seed. You sow light. It's like a seed. And everything that is in that seed, according to the Bible and the law, everything that tree is going to be, everything that seed is going to produce is already in the seed. You know, if it's apple, it will give apple. All the information needed is there. See? So God has sown his light already, that seed, in us. See? And it will reproduce himself in us. Right? He saw the seed of light. God is light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But the more light that we produce, or as we grow and mature, nature, you got to nature this thing. You don't take a plant and don't put water. Or you don't take a plant and don't give me some vitamins or something. It gets dwarfed. We never grow. It gets small. You got a nature that God has put in you. You have to water that. It is sown. See? So it is a part that we have to play. Because you want the light to grow. And the more the light grows, the more darkness will be repelled. Because the less light, the more darkness will approach the sin. So as you go and you have a relationship with God and you grow in your nature, that seed that God has put in you, and the more you nurture, the more you take care of it. And God is the husbandman. He will prune you so that life continue growing. He will take the thing that is undesirable. He will take those things that is not you so you can come forward. But you have to nature that. You have to water that. Amen. That's why we come to church, worship. We want to worship a little bit after because we want to water the word. We want more light. More light. But see, all falls in our lap. It's just not going to happen out of the blue. One day I'm changed. This takes an effort. And this effort has to be done because we love God. And we don't mind to do. That all about relationships. Time takes commitments. If you want to flourish and grow, it takes a commitment. In Corinthians, it says, relationship problems can also be external. And relationships, are sometimes not good. It just depends. For example, I used to be in a toxic, abusive relationship, not with my wife, with Satan. That was my first husband. And he was abusive. He didn't love me. He wanted to destroy me. And that's what happens to relationship, that if it's away from the word of God, Satan would like to destroy you. And you don't want anything to do with him and his thing. That's what the Bible said. Hate evil. Because that kind of a relationship will destroy you. I know that. But I'm glad that the husband died. I have a new husband now. See? Because that is what the Bible said. One husband has to die before you can remarry, right? My first husband is dead. And I'm glad that now I've been remarried to the right one. One that care for me, one that love me, one that do for me what no other can do for me. And that is a happy relationship. Amen. And that's what I want your people to have. That kind of a relationship. Let me finish with this. I'm going to reach you one more. Here. And in our meeting, this is our Africa trip report. And in our meeting, if God do not supply our needs, then it is time for me to get off the field and go home. If God is not working for you, might as well just give it up. That's what Brother Brian said. If God cannot do what he promised to do, let's go. If you here and you are not producing that life, if you're not working, might as well just, I hate what they do in some of the tabernacle, You better go to the world without going to any other church because this is the only church. I'm not telling you, if this is not working, just give it up and go to the world. No, I'll never tell you that. I just want you to make you aware, the danger of things. Because God cannot lie. And if you love God and you got the Holy Ghost, see, it has to work. God has to fulfill his word. God cannot lie to us. God supply our need, then it's time. If church is not working for you, then find the way that church will work for you. Because that's what God wants. God wants to meet you. The body. You love the body. You love God. But if it's not working, why torment ourselves? You know, all I'm saying, what staying in the middle? Just make a decision, you know. I will make a decision for better. I will not make a decision for worse. If God is not supplying, then let's get out the field. But when He supplies my needs, why? I just keep on staying wherever He lets me to go. And if He has no place for me to go, let me, then why? Then I just go wherever the manager picks out a place to go. And I love people, and I love ministers to them, and I love them because they love Christ. That's the only reason I love you. And that's the reason you love me. Because we're in love with Him.
Amen.
There's no way you can be in love with God and hate anybody. There's no way that you love God and stay away from the body. There's no way that you can love God and be mad or bored. Rejoice. And I said, rejoice.
Amen.
Man, if you're not going to rejoice when you come to church, as the Bible said, then if it's not working, then let's do something. Something's got to change.
Amen.
And it's us, actually, that we need to change our approach to things. See, love people, and I love the minister to them, and I love to minister to them, and I love them because they love Christ. And if they love Christ, then they are bound to love me. You cannot love Christ and hate me.
Right.
We have situations in church. People leave. Wow, if you love God, you cannot hate anybody.
Amen.
You cannot hate to come to church. You cannot be bored. See? Because that relationship will produce God. And God loves you. How can you know you love everybody else? See? He says, His servant, say, because I am His servant, and I have to love you because you are His servant, and I have to love you because you are His servant. And I happily and most gratefully in my heart to love you, everyone. That's true. Our Heavenly Father is with great delight that we bring those people before Thee. Our Heavenly Father. Laying here tonight is this handkerchief that represents sick, afflicted people. We love them because they love you. That's the only reason. We all came from the same source. We all children of God. How can now we love each other? Because the love of God is in our heart. How can now we love each other? And Thou hast brought us nigh unto Thee by the washing of Thy blood of the water of the word, and have brought these people to relationship with us.
Amen.
See? We are in a relationship. You know, if we are in a relationship with God, we are all in a relationship.
Amen.
That means we have a connection. How can I be broken? Nobody can break us away from God. Separated from the love of God. We have a connection.
Amen.
See? And now we are sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, and our heart go out for each other in sickness and in trouble. The Bible said if one hurt, that's the connection. Because if you are connected to Him and connected to each one, you feel. When one hurt, we all hurt. When one is happy, we all happy. That is the connection. You know, we are not talking about a connection that, okay, you know, he didn't come to church, but no, let's find out why. Let's call. I don't care if they get mad. You know what? We miss you. We love you. There's a connection. And when you're not here, the dynamic change because the connection has changed. We need each other. For this to work, the whole connection has to be there. The relationship has to be there. And now we are sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, and our heart goes out for each other in sickness and in trouble. When one member suffers, all members suffer. That's the kind of connection we have. When one member is not here, our heart goes out to that too. So don't get mad if we call you. It's because we love you. And we miss you. Because what? We have a connection.
Amen.
This is not just an independent thing that, you know, everybody comes to church and then you go home and that was the end of this. This is not that. This connection was not made in earth. The connection was made in heaven. We are connected. Our hearts go out for each other in sickness, in trouble, when one member suffer or members suffer for the effects. And Father, in my heart and in our hearts tonight, we suffer with burden that you will heal all these people. I think if our approach to God, the way we love God, it will change the service completely. You know, if we approach God in this way, you know, we won't be a feeble person if we really know that we are connected. And whatever I do affects you because my connection has a part of that connection and that connection. So that's why we have to be in one mind, in one. That connection has to be there, not just the pastor. We all have to be connected in the love of God. Feeling the same things. Doing the same thing, whatever it is good, whatever it is, it got a good report, whatever, let's do that. We are connected. So don't you even think that because you're home and you're thinking about something else that God don't hear, God will. God knows. And Father, in my heart and in our heart tonight, we suffer with the burdens that you heal all these people. We want to see them well. We want to see them up, going about and well and healthy. Amen. Relationships. The first one is, and the main one, and the most important one, young people, is your relationship with the Lord. Forget about the nice looking boy and the nice looking girl and my best friend. They're not going to do nothing for you because that connection can go just so far. God loves you and God will go as far as he needs to do and he needs to go in your life. He will keep you. He will protect you. He will save you. He will preserve you. He will keep you from the wicked one. He will care for you. I mean, he will love you. How much more do you want? That's the kind of a relationship I wanted. You know, sometimes we feel when we was out there in the world, you know, on love, we couldn't love nobody, and nobody loves us, and wah wah. But God, you know, when we came to God, now we have somebody that loves us. And that's the kind of a relationship I want today. Let me see if I have any more notes here that I forgot. Yes, I wanted to make mention to this little story that is a story, but anyway, young people, Brother Brown talks about that if you love someone, you know, a boy or a boy loves a girl, and then you think you love them, you know. However, if you know that he's interested in somebody else or she's interested, and that person will do more for him or her that you can do, it can give him a better life or better. He said, love will constrain you to let go. I mean, love is not selfish. God is not selfish. But that is the point that we need to get to. We need to let go and let God do things. Brother Brown continues saying, you know, you let go. If you know that somebody else can be better wife or better husband, I would take it. Let go. If you really love someone. Because I understand now, that's what happened in the garden. God loved us so much that we fell, you know. So Adam. So God had to let us go. That was all in his plan. But God knew that we was going to return. Amen. Right? But he loved us so much that he said, go, if you think you're going to get something better, they're fine with me. But we couldn't find anything to satisfy our soul. But he knew, just like the prodigal son, he will return. But he already made up his mind. When he returns, my love for him is greater than whatever that he's seen. So what I'm saying, if you let go, young people, and that person returns, then it's yours. That's what Rabbi said. Let go, but if he comes back, so what happened to us? Yeah, God let go. See, God knew what was going to happen, but he let us go. You know, and we were born in sin and shaping iniquity. But he knew that when we come back, Amen. Then, therefore, he can express his love by just receiving us back again. Amen. You know, somebody that let go in the physical, in the natural, you know, oh, but she left. I don't want her anymore. Oh, he left. I don't care about him anymore. I don't care if he came back. I got somebody. No, God is not that way. God knew that you and I will come back one of these days. Because we're going to realize that he loved them more than the world could do for us. Amen. See, not everybody will return. The Bible said those that he chose before the foundation of the world said, Jesus said, what you gave me, I will not lose any. They will come. And when they come, you will fall in love with God. And God already loved you to begin with. He never stopped loving you. And I understand the power that brother. No wonder he made that. See, because I was lost. I left. Thinking that there was something better out there in life. Well, I found out that there's nothing better than his love. Everybody else wants to take advantage of you. Because love is the love that the world offers, it is one-sided. You know, sometimes the love for the filial love is not perfect. Not as perfect as the love of God. So, God gave his life for me and you. That's what was love divine when we were still sinners. So, finally, I choose his love for my love. So, tonight, I want you to choose God and have a relationship with God. Work on it. Work on it. By what? By doing what it pleases God. Commit to God. Amen. Talk to God. Trust God. I mean, that's the kind of, the stronger that relationship is, the stronger any other relationship that you will have. It will work and will fall in place. Why? Because you have something that you can draw, and you're growing, and you're getting closer, and you're getting deeper, and the deeper you get, the stronger you get, Amen. Spiritually, and that will help you also in the physical sense. So, tonight, let us stand. I like that song that we saw. Can we sing it again? Where are we? Oh, musician, help me out here. I didn't give you enough time to come up. I have much more to say, but, you know, we only said what the Lord allowed. We open our mouth and we let God speak, and that's all. You need it. It's all you needed. Amen. The greatest thing in all my life is to have a relationship with God. Amen. That is the only relationship that worth anything. It worth your time. It worth your money. It worth your life. Everything. Give it all. To have that kind of a relationship with God. Where's Lucas? I'm not going to try, man. I'm not going to try. Because I know I'm going to be out of tune anyway.